trying to do with the people assessing their health project and with community-driven health impact assessment is to say that people at the community level know what it takes to make and keep their communities healthy, and that those voices need to be heard in decision-making.
This PATH process was the very first and only community-driven health impact assessment process anywhere in the world. The traditional HIA has various levels of community consultation, but in this case, it's the only one where the community develops its own tool that reflects its own values and beliefs and priorities.
As Susan Eaton and Colleen Cameron describe, people assessing their health, or PATH, begins with the assumption that the best source of information about what is good or bad for a community's health is the community itself. Sounds simple enough, but as many people with experience in the public sector can attest, such straightforward ideas are often hijacked by opposing agendas within government. The success the PATH Network has had using its community-driven health impact assessment tool is a living rebuttal to the kind of skepticism that leads to inaction. PATH has shown participants that their voice matters and that they have an important role to play when it comes to making policy. And, as Colleen Cameron said, this unique approach is catching on in communities all over the world. The PATH Network began its life in the mid-1990s as a partnership between St. Francis Xavier University, the Antigonish Women's Resource Center, and the Regional Public Health Unit, shortly after the Nova Scotia government announced plans to devolve healthcare decision-making to community-based organizations. PATH's founders believed that downloading this responsibility without prior community engagement was a recipe for failure. Now, 17 years later, PATH's groundbreaking approach has been honed through its use at home and abroad. Susan Eaton gives an overview of the process used to develop a community-driven health impact assessment tool.
We ask interested individuals to come together in a facilitated process for what amounts to about 15 hours of conversation. So it could be 5 days of 3 hours or whatever. And we use a very deliberate adult education process that invites people to reflect on their personal and community experiences and then help them to sort of deconstruct those experiences in a way that identifies the factors that affect their own personal and their community's health. And then after that, we help them build a vision of what a healthy community would look like, and then we take them through another process that invites them and engages them in identifying all of the different indicators that you would need to look at if you said, what makes and keeps my community healthy? So it's like a kind of a three-step process. Once we've done that, now we have an assessment tool that can be used to assess anything.
This is the first step in a two-step process. After the assessment tool is developed, it is then used to conduct a health impact assessment in which the focus is on how to improve the positive and minimize the harm of a particular proposal. As an example, Colleen Cameron recounted how the tool helped change a community's perception of two schools slated to be closed by the province.
One of the schools said they were amazed at how much their school is being used and what it means to their community. The other community, when they looked at their school, they were saying, my goodness, we could use this school for doing so many more things. For example, they started a community library in their school, and they have these other community gatherings now. So it helped them to see what the possibilities were for using the school, how it could benefit the community.
So, in the first case, the tool minimized the harm by helping one group see how vital the school was to its health, and in the second, improved the positive by helping another group make better use of its school. One of the strengths of the community-driven model is the way in which it gives voice to those who might not otherwise be heard from during policymaking discussions. To illustrate, Eaton and Cameron gave the example of a proposed no-smoking bylaw on Antigonish's Main Street. As part of the health impact assessment of the smoking ban, input was sought from members of vulnerable populations who gather at the street's benches and who would be further marginalized if the ban was put into effect. As a result of these consultations, the Antigonish Town Council rejected the no-smoking bylaw. Susan Eaton.
The best thing in the world is to have a bylaw that says you can't smoke on the street, but it's a really bad one if it's exclusionary. That's the example of how community input can be helpful in shaping healthy public policy.
For Cameron and Eaton, the impact on public policy is one of the most gratifying and unexpected developments to come out of their work with PATH. Though the community-driven health impact assessment tool was conceived as a way to help communities reflect on themselves and set priorities for healthcare services, after 17 years of use, it has grown beyond its original scope in exciting new ways. Susan Eaton.
It truly is allowing a voice to rise to the surface in a way that has not happened before. Consultation is often a top-down process, but this is a different approach. It's community-driven, and so it is saying, these are our priorities, and we will measure your proposal against our own criteria. It's really interesting how it empowers people at the local level and increasingly how it's starting to affect decision makers.
Colleen Cameron highlights some other important benefits of engaging the community in this way.
It is a very good health promotion process. When people go through this process, they have the knowledge, but it's not something that's at the forefront of their mind. It's not something they would just normally articulate because people think about health as illness and disease. But when you facilitate the process, they come up with the determinants of health. And it's a very good community development process because when groups go through this, whether they ever use the tool or not, they still know where they want to go with their community to make it a better community.
PATH has taken its pioneering approach beyond Nova Scotia to India, Africa, and Thailand. And, Cameron says, it works just as well there as it does here.
When we first took this project overseas, it was eye-opening for us to realize that the process can be used in any particular context or culture. So each community, of course, develops its own tool. You can't take a tool from one place to another, but the process certainly works in any kind of a cultural setting.
PATH has shown that once engaged, average citizens anywhere in the world can readily grasp how the social determinants of health affect their communities. But one of the most stubborn obstacles Cameron and Eaton encounter is the definition of health as the absence of illness, or equating it with primary care, even among those who should know better.
I have that issue with my colleagues. I've been teaching at Cody for 20 years, and I have colleagues that say, oh, I don't do health, I do community development. That word health is a huge, huge, huge challenge. When we did the bylaw for the town, and we asked one of the counselors afterwards, would they ever consider using this health impact assessment again? He said, oh, for sure, it was great. Anytime we have a health issue, they keep going back to that narrow concept of health.
This is not just a matter of semantics, since it maintains the fiction that our physical well-being is mostly the result of lifestyle choices and independent of the numerous factors that have a much greater impact on one's health outcomes. PATH, a partnership formed to enable communities to discover what they need to improve their health, has resulted in a process that meets and far exceeds that goal. As a community comes to better understand the needs of its many constituents, it finds its voice and can use it to advocate for the change it desires. The great capacity lying dormant in any community can be awakened in this way and drawn to the task of improving the lives of its members. As Cameron and Eaton tell it, a community's journey towards wellness begins with asking two simple questions. Who are we, and what do we need?